Fischer from the department, led by the DG, Judge Ngwenya and the team, our guests. Good morning. Let me declare this meeting officially open to welcome you in this second day meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform. As we're aware that we're dealing with the annual report of the department and also its entities. What we'll be doing is what the Constitution mandates us to do, that we need to oversight the department. We need to ensure that the department is accountable for its activities and its entities. Yesterday we received a briefing from the Office of the Auditor General. We received a detailed report from the department. Therefore, today we'll be receiving the briefing and also engage on the report, annual report of the ITB. Without a waste of time, then I'll request Pumla to reflect the apologies that were tabled with him.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Good morning, colleagues. The apology that I received is from the minister. Today is unable to attend. And the apology from the deputy minister, Mashego Dlamini. That's all I have, Chair. Standing apology for Mama Uqekana. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Pumla. Those are the apologies that you presented to all. Honorable Robinson, I'm sorry, my apologies.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Honorable Walters has indicated that he will be a little bit late. He is stuck somewhere else. Thanks.
I'm not sure of the apology for Honorable Fultana because I was told he will be attending the PC on agriculture, forestry and fisheries, but it was not formally tabled with Pumla because Pumla didn't present it. Honorable members, can I then give this opportunity to the judge for an overview, then we get the presentation about the activities of the ITB during 2015-2016 financial year. Over to you, Judge.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, and all present. Chairperson, I think I would request our CEO, Dr. McLaughlin, to do a presentation, and she would be assisted by Mr. Mayor where necessary. For me, what I think I may just highlight is the audit report and also the chairman's report, which in part provides how we have ended where we are with regards to the audit. But I think I would be in a better position to deal with comments coming from there and questions once a full report shall have been presented. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll hand over to Dr. McLaughlin.
Thank you, Judge. Dr. McLaughlin.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members, as well as colleagues. I will present the 2015-16 annual report for Ngwenya Trust Board. The presentation outline include the strategic alignment of ICT to government priorities, the five-year performance analysis, the overall annual performance analysis for the four programs, then I'll deal with human resource management and the engineer will then deal with the financial performance report. I'm just going to skip the steps because those are just strategic issues. It is also important to look at the legal context of Ingonyama Trust, which obviously stems from the Constitution of 1986, Act Number 108, that it finds its expression in Section 211 and 212 of the Constitution, where it recognizes the institution of traditional leadership and customary law. That's also quite important for us in terms of Ingonyama Trust Board. Also, while I think one must actually emphasize this, that while the Ingonyama Trust predates the Constitution, because the Ingonyama Trust is the first act was in 1994, its existence finds expression and protection under the provisions of Section 25 of the Constitution. However, it also, the land is administered in terms of the customary Zulu customary law, which also is in consultation with Amakhosi, who in turn are responsible to the king in terms of the customary law. And thus then you would find, even in terms of the 1994 Act, the king is the only trustee in terms of this act. The Act obviously was amended in 1997 to create a board as separate from the trust to administer the trust and the assets, which include the land. One must also indicate that this amendment tried as far as possible to align itself with the practice under customary law. And therefore, the king, for all practical purposes, is relieved by the board from the administration of the land. Also, it is important to indicate that the communal land that is owned by the clans, and you'll find that in terms of the Act, the clans that are affected are actually listed on the Act itself. And each of the clans has got a demarcated area. And therefore, in terms of allotment of land, the clan is entitled through the procedures in terms of the customary law for the allotment of the land, as envisaged also in terms of the Act and Section 25(1) of the Constitution. While Section 25(6) provides for the enactment of legislation to strengthen the land ownership to address past historical racial inequalities, it is admitted that the land beneficiaries of Ingonyama Trust land can have access to such protection and even currently. Ingonyama Trust land is still the most economically accessible land in the province. However, due to the population exponential growth, strong measures are to be applied in the land allotment by the traditional council on the ground. For this to happen, the Ingonyama Trust Board needs to expedite the population and cascade it to the traditional council sooner than later. One must also indicate that the trust mandate is not confined to land ownership. It is also entitled to do anything which a corporate body may do, subject to the enabling legislation. For this reason, the board is now paying attention, or particular attention, to various economic models in order to give even greater emphasis to its mission. In the results, it is expected that in future, more financial benefits will yield to various communities on Ingonyama Trust land. This is because of the various economic models that the Ingonyama Trust Board is trying to explore in trying to make sure that there is economic activity in these areas. In terms of the organizational structure, we have the executive authority, which is the Honorable Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform. We've got the King as the sole, as well as the sole trustee in terms of the Ngonyama Trust Act. And we've got Ngonyama Trust, which was actually initially established, and on the right hand side we've got the board, and then the head of the secretariat, and the general administration, real estate management, and financial management. I will now highlight the various meetings that were held during the year under review and the attendance of the board members thereof. In terms of board meetings, there were 9 board meetings that were held. There were 10 exco meetings that were held, and there were 10 plenarized committee meetings that were held. And we have the attendance of the various board members as indicated in that table. We also have got an audit committee, and we also have an indication of the attendance of the various board, audit committee members. I must actually pause and indicate that the 2 board members that attended only once only became audit committee members early this year, in February or March this year, and that is the reason why their attendance was actually once in the meeting, because other meetings were held in the previous financial year. The other board members is Mega resigned on the 8th of May 2015. Non-financial information. In terms of the strategic alignment of ICP to government priorities, the entity is aligned to Outcome 7, Outcome 8, and Outcome 12 of the MTSF through its contribution to the following priorities as indicated. The first one is improved land administration and special planning for integrated development. The second one is sustainable land reform in terms of agrarian transformation, and that will be also clear in terms of our rural development program. The third one is improved food security, which we undertake through our rural development program, which I'm going to highlight later. Small future farmer development and support through technical financial infrastructure for agrarian transformation. Fourth one is increased access to quality basic infrastructure and services, particularly education, healthcare, and public transport in rural areas. This is again in terms of the allotment of land available for state domestic facilities as well as servitude for various infrastructure that you find in rural areas. Growth for sustainable rural enterprises and industries, characterized by strong rural urban linkages, increased investment in agro-processing, trade development, and access to market and financial services, results in rural job creation. This again would be, as I would highlight later, related to the investment that and business sector that we attract to the rural areas in order for them to be economically viable. That will range from retail, mining, and a variety of others that are related to growth in the rural areas. In terms of the 5-year performance analysis, obviously taking the 5-year cycle, 2011-2012, see there's 118% in terms of performance, which went down in 2012-2013 to 91%. It went up in 2013-14 to 98%, and then went down in 2014-15 to 91, and 2015-16 up again, showing an increase to 98%. But also one must indicate that the increase that one sees in 2015-16, whilst one at a glance would say is equivalent to the one that was there in 2013-14, but if you look at the performance indicators that existed in 2013-14 were less than those that had in 2015-16. So there are more indicators in 2015-16. However, the performance has increased. This is performance by program, administration, sitting at 81%, land management, 149%, rural development at 91%, and traditional council support at 70%. The ICD overall performance comparatively in terms of now is 100% looking at them, not individually, sitting at 98%, with administration sitting at 21%, rural development sitting at 23%, land management sitting at 38%, and traditional council support sitting at 18%. This is now a comparative within programs. Program 1, performance report. The purpose of the report is to provide strategic leadership, corporate services, logistical support services, and financial management to the trust. The program structure for Program 1 is comprised of the board, management, communication, legal, information technology, general administration, and financial services. Now, looking at the actual performance information, strategic objective is to ensure that efficient internal resource management is aligned to legislative requirements. The first performance indicator was number of policies approved by the board. The actual performance target for 2015-16 was 5. The actual target was 2. The variance was 3. And the reason for variance, there was actually a delay in the sourcing of the service providers. And the two policies that we see having been achieved, they ended up having to be done internally because of the delay that we actually experienced. The second performance indicator is the percentage of all movable assets to be recorded in the asset register. There was no variance there. There was 100% target, and that 100% was actually achieved. The third one was percentage of vacant positions to be filled. It was 100% of all vacancies that had to be filled. 94% was achieved, -6%, which are the variance. The reason for that was that it was mainly because of the skills scarcity, especially in the property management sector, and as well as staff turnover, because obviously during the year some people will leave, but by the end of the year they would obviously be showing a decrease in terms of the performance or the achievement. In particular, one must also mention, I think we've mentioned even in the fourth quarterly report to the portfolio committee, that there was even a person that was offered a post. The whole process was actually undertaken, but the person couldn't then take it at the end. The other performance indicator was number of performance has been assigned. This was supposed to be 100%. During the first quarter, I must indicate this, there was 0% achievement on this target. And then during the last two quarters, we achieved 100%. However, because one was averaging the performance by quarters, it then would have resulted in 75%. However, by the end of the financial year, 100% performance agreement had been achieved. Monthly backup of exchange file server completed, and that has been done. Indicator 12, no variance. Biannual checks of software compliance conducted, supposed to be 2 because it's done half yearly. That was done, and there is no variance on that. Number of training programs conducted, that was supposed to be 10. The actual performance was 8. The variance was 2. This was mainly as a result of training that was requested in some instances, which was not linked to job functions, and which was then not seen as critical for portfolio to be undertaken during the year, and some also not being clear even on the performance development plans which are linked to the performance agreement or staff. Strategic objective 2, to improve customer relations. The indicator there was payment of valid invoices paid within 30 days of receipt in finance, 100%. The achievement was 100%, there was no variance, so paying within the stipulated timeline. Communication strategy approved 1, that was the target. Unfortunately, that was not achieved again because of the challenge in terms of the sources of the memorandum of agreements with traditional councils approved by the board. The target was 4, the achievement was 5. There was a variance, which was a positive variance of 1. This was mainly because of the improved relationship and the engagement of the board or the ITB and the traditional council. Number of communication reports approved by the board, they were supposed to be 12. 9 were actually approved. The challenge there was just a delay in the submission of the reports to the board for approval. However, at the end of the, during the first quarter, they were then set to program 2, land management performance report. The purpose of the program is to provide a secure tenant right and establish a comprehensive land tenant information system. The program structure in land management is provision of tenant rights and maintenance of land tenant information system. In terms of the first strategic objective, which is the provision of secure tenant rights to facilitate development on Ingonyama Trust land, the first performance indicator is number of land tenant rights approved by the board. The actual target was 1,300. The actual achievement was 610. The variance was a negative of 690. The reason for variance is that performance is a policy review. During the course of the year, there was a requirement that we wanted, especially for residential sites, that we wanted people to submit informed consent, written informed consent, so that we are quite clear on that. And this resulted in the decline in the applications, because when ITB 1 would have been completed and the second form, which was ITB 2, and when then we're informing people of the rights that then are related to that, then some people would then say we no longer want to go for the leasehold approach, because that is a voluntary process. Second strategic objective is to maintain an integrated and comprehensive land tenant information system, which is a database of land tenant rights. Quarterly updates on the land holding register, that was supposed to be 4, that was 4, and therefore there was no variance. The next strategic objective is making trust land available for infrastructure development. This one is related to number of MOUs approved by the board. The actual target was 4, the achievement was 0, with a negative 4 variance. The reason for variance, this one is related to the memorandum of understanding between the Ingonyama Trust Board and municipalities for a variety of programs to be undertaken, because the traditional councils are actually operating within municipal boundaries. And obviously the drafts were done, they were sent to municipalities, but they couldn't be finalized and they are under review, because obviously they would send them to their legal departments and they would also take time in order for them to respond in terms of what we have proposed in terms of how we should engage moving forward. The next strategic objective was prevention and monitoring of illegal occupation on trust land. The performance indicator was number of illegal interventions undertaken by the board. That was supposed to be 4, and the actual performance was 18. and that is showing a positive balance of 14. One must also say, in terms of the reason for variance, this indicator is demand-based and obviously subject to also review in this current year, because obviously it's also reactive in nature, because when there's something that requires legal intervention, which is also in terms of this, to protect trust land, therefore we actually would act in relation to that. Program 3, Rural Development Performance Information. The purpose of the program is to coordinate, initiate, facilitate the implementation of rural development to strengthen security and agricultural productivity. The program comprises of food security and facilitation of the establishment of industries and rural enterprises. The first strategic objective is to provide support to beneficiary communities to improve food security. Performance indicator, the number of agricultural projects approved. The indicator was, this was a new indicator, and therefore the target for 2016-16 was 5. The actual achievement was 12, which shows a positive of 7. This is a result of the emphasis that the board put on food security and economic development in traditional council areas. The second strategic objective was facilitate economic development, bracket industry and rural enterprise development. Here again, one is saying facilitate, not almost directly involved in actually doing it, but to facilitate. The first strategic performance indicator was develop a strategy on economic development. Here, it was a new indicator. The performance target was 1, the actual was 0. The minus variance, and therefore there was a delayed putting of the service provider. This will be finalized in 2016. Because it's already underway. The second one was the number of partnership agreements approved by the board. It was a new indicator as well. We wanted 4. Fortunately, there was 1. Sorry, there was 0, and therefore a negative of 4. Again, here, yeah, because agreements, whilst you would want to achieve them at a particular point, you can initiate them, but whether or not you will have finalized them by the end of the financial year, sometimes becomes a bit subjective. And therefore, they had commenced with various companies that could not have been finalized at the end of the financial year, as it involves third parties. Strategic objective, to identify strategically located land to be used for high-impact commercial ventures. The number of commercial high-impact projects approved by the board, this was a new indicator. But I must also indicate that if you look at the strategic objective versus the indicator, there was incorrect capturing of the indicator. There was, however, 5 achievements with the correct indicator, which is looking at land identified, strategically located, identified for high-impact commercial ventures. So in terms of that, there was a plus of 1 achievement in terms of the indicator. Program 4, traditional council support. The purpose is to utilize the financial resources of the trust in advancing economic growth, creating employment, as well as eradication of poverty. The program structure in terms of this is comprised of providing of traditional training to traditional council, as well as providing educational awards to community members as a way of breaking a cycle into poverty from various households. The first strategic objective in terms of this was provide training to traditional communities in peace development and capacity building programs. Number of traditional councils trained was supposed to be 45. We achieved 28. and was a variance of 17. One must actually indicate that the forecast for 2015-16 during the year shifted to workshopping armor courses of old. In essence, we dealt with 241 traditional councils over the three sessions, which was the September, which was the mining Indaba, November, which was looking at displacement policy and Indizo report, and the memorandum of understanding, and emphasis on food security. And in March this year, we focused on all legislation that affects trust land, which also resulted in all Amakhosi being given a handbook for all various pieces of legislation that impact on Ingonyama trust land. Strategic objectives, the next one, facilitate economic investment to communities living in trust land. Number of educational awards granted, this was a new new indicator. The actual target was 100, noting that it was a new indicator. The actual achievement was 78, a variance of 22. We also find that one of the reasons for this was that this indicator, though it was new, it almost became reactive in its nature, as it was based on the on requests received from traditional councils, and therefore we couldn't at this point control it much. In terms of human resource management, as of 31st March 2016, the Secretariat had filled 27 approved posts in terms of the staff establishment. An additional of 31 staff members were occupying positions additional to the staff establishment. In total, therefore, there were 58 staff members as of 31st March 2016, and the breakdown is in the table. And the next table also indicates the employment and vacancy by salary band, which is actually clear. In terms of training needs and skills development, this is by occupation. As indicated, also the employment equity table is as highlighted. In terms of termination of services, as 31st March 2016, we had a total of contract expiring, 2 resignations, 4, there was no death, thank God, and then a total of 6. And here we take over the financial information.
Good morning to the chairperson, committee members, board members, and colleagues. My presentation provides an overview of the financial results, the audited financial results for the year ended 31st of March 2016. The first slide that I want to focus on is on slide 32. This slide represents the transfer payment received from the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and how the transfer payment was utilized for the year. The total transfer payment received, including the interest earned thereon, was 18.1 million. On current payments, on compensation of employees, 10.9 million, almost 11 million. For goods and services, 7.1 million. The total expenditure incurred for the year, excluding depreciation, was 18.1 million. So therefore, the total transfer payment received from the department was fully utilized for the year. Slide 33 is a summary of the financial position, or more commonly known as the balance sheet. For 2015-2016, the total assets amounted to 542.2 million, total liabilities 240.9 million or 241 million, total net assets 301.2 million. One would note that there was an increase from 2015 to 2016 in the total net assets. Slide 34 is on the financial performance or income statement of the entity. The income earned is mainly from rental income from leasing of Ingonyama Trust land. This amounted to 96.1 million, which also includes the straight lining lease income. Finance income or investment of funds, 12.7 million. Contractual royalty revenue, 773,000. Other revenue, including the transfer payment, amounted to 18.5 million. Therefore, the total revenue generated for the year was 128.1 million. The total expenditure for the year amounted to 72.8 or 73 million. There was a surplus for the year which is non-cash and is mainly due to the straight lining of lease income, which was 55.2 million. Slide 35 is on the cash flow statement. This reflects how much of cash was received and how it was utilized for the year. Net cash flows from operating activities, 11.9 million. Net cash flows from investing activities, 5.5 million. Increase in cash and cash equivalents, 6.5 million. And cash and cash equivalents for the year, in other words, the money in the bank, 191.4 million. Further notes on the management of cash. There was an increase in cash flow from operating activities from 2014-2015 of 10.2 million to 11.9 million. And this was mainly due to the increase in the investment income and receipts from customers. In other words, we received more money from customers. The increase in cash flow from investing activities is mainly due to the purchase of agricultural machinery and equipment. And the increase in cash and cash equivalents from 2014-2015 to 2015-2016 amounted to 6.5 million. The expenditure as per the economic classification, one would note that the expenses are paid from the transfer payment that we receive from the department and also from monies that are generated internally. On compensation of employees, the total paid was 18 million. On goods and services, we have a detailed breakdown on slide 41 on goods and services. 54.6 million was paid. And rent at the Ulundi, for the Ulundi office was 217,800. The total paid was 72.8 million. Capital expenditure for the year. We have a breakdown of the capital expenditure on slide 42. The total cost for the capital expenditure that we acquired was 5.5 million. Total expenditure for the year, 78.3 million. The next slide, slide 39. This slide reflects the annual expenditure per program versus the annual budgeted expenditure per program for the year. There were four programs in terms of the APP. On administration, the total budget was 59.1 million. Actual spent was 37 million. Land management, 2.7 million or 2.8 million. Total actual was 1.4 million. Rural development, 9 million. And the total actual was, for the actual spent, was 6.1 million. Traditional council support, the budgeted amount was 6.7 million and the actual was 6.1 million. One would note that the total budget was 87.6 million and the total actual spent was 50.8 million. The reasons for the differences in or in variance for administration was that it was mainly attributable to the savings in the capital expenditure of about 18 million and savings on other expenses also. Land management, the land valuation exercise was not completed or mainly commenced in the current year, the 2016-2017 year. Slide 39, the operating expenditure trends. Total expenditure increased by 9.49%, mainly due to the increase in agricultural expenses, depreciation, salaries and provisions. Compensation of employees increased by 5.47%. As I mentioned earlier, the transfer payment received amounting to 18 million was fully utilized. And rental was paid for the satellite office at Urundi. The goods and services includes general operating and administrative expenditure, excluding employee costs. For future years, employee costs will increase if the proposed organogram is approved, which will also result in an increase in administrative costs. Slide 40 is a graphical presentation of the employee costs for 2014-2015 versus that of 2015-2016. One would note that in 2015 we spent 17 million and in 2015-2016 almost just above 18 million. And the increase is mainly due to the annual increment for the year. Slide 41, the committee requested in our quarterly engagements that we present a schedule on goods and services. The schedule of goods and services is available on page 41, the total of which is 54.6 million. Slide 42 reflects the breakdown of the capital expenditure acquired for the year. This was also a request from the committee in our engagement, in our prior engagements. The total that was spent for the year was 5.4 million. On agricultural equipment and machinery, 4.4 million was spent. Buildings and other fixed structures, 150,328. Furniture and equipment, 666,108. Computer equipment, 100,493. Software and intangible assets was 168,682. So the major portion of the capital expenditure was spent on agricultural capital costs. The capital expenditure trends for the current year, there were no incomplete capital projects for office accommodation purposes as at 31st of March 2016. Capital expenditure was paid from income generated from the trust's trading activities and not paid using the transfer payment. No motor vehicles were acquired during the year. ITB purchased agricultural machinery, general furniture and equipment due to the increase in business activities. There was a software upgrade of the server. Upgrade of the server was undertaken during the course of the year. Slide 44, the total revenue. The total revenue this slide is a graphical representation of the total income generated, which I've already explained in slide 34. One would note that the major income that the Ingunyama Trust received is from rental income. next slide is a graphical representation of the transfer payment that was received over the last 4 years. One would note that there is a decrease if we had to compare 2012-2013, where we received 18.8 million versus 2015-2016, 18.069 million. However, there is an increase from 2015 to 2016, from 17.2 million to 18.069 million. Chairperson, that ends my presentation for today on the financial results. I think going forward would be the organizational concerns together with the aspects of the audit report, which is linked with the organizational concerns. Thank you.
One of the topics that we needed to cover as part of the presentation, as a guide that was sent to us, was looking at organizational concerns and options. One, it's important to indicate the circumstances leading to the adverse audit findings, which is in brackets the separation of the two entities, Ingonyama Trust and Ingonyama Trust Board. The Ingonyama Trust Act 1994 created the Ingonyama Trust. And then in 1997, the Ingonyama Trust Amendment Act created the Ingonyama Trust Board. The Ingonyama Trust was listed in terms of, Ingonyama Trust Board was then listed in terms of the PFMA. And the Ingonyama Trust Act requires that the land is managed for the social and material well-being of the tribes or clans as listed in the Act. It is important also to indicate that the Auditor General has been auditing the Ingonyama Trust Board for the past 16 years. During that period, one set of financial statement has been prepared for the board and the trust as combined. As indicated in the presentation earlier, is that Ingonyama Trust precedes the Ingonyama Trust Board. The PFMA also came into existence after the trust came into existence, because the trust came into existence in 1994. And therefore, the board, as part of its activities, cannot surrender money that belongs to the trust to the National Fiscal, because the Act says it administers the land for the material and social well-being of the communities. There are clearly defined assets of the trust and the board, and however, these assets have over the years been disclosed in one set of financial statements. The Auditor General, during the 2015-16 audit, identified assets of the trust and those of the board as one of its responses back to us after we responded to it. The board's response to the issue of provisions to the Auditor General during the audit made it clear that the funds are being held in trust for community. And that is where then this issue to a very large extent stemmed from. And currently one is also seeking guidance from National Treasurer as well as the Auditor General. We've had meetings with them in terms of the most appropriate format of treating the presentation of the financials of the two entities. I must actually indicate that the confirmation or concurrence of the Auditor General with the analogy of the Ingonyama Trust Board emanating from a management response came to us just 4 days prior to the closure of the audit. It came on the 26th of July, and we had only 4 days to finalize the audit, which was then saying we should have separated the financials of the board and those of the trust. and also it had implications for prior years. So which means it only didn't only deal with 2015-16, but it had implications for the previous years that already have been audited by the Auditor General. The other issue also that we want to also bring as an issue on the table is the issue of audit qualifications that have also been raised, which relates to land valuation. I'm sure that was a qualification for the 2014-15 financial year. I must also report to the portfolio committee that the entity has started the land valuation process, and already we've got a report because we started in phases. We started with the commercial property moving through the open land. That has started and already have got a report on that. Based on the engagement also in the year between the National Department, CFO, as well as the AG and National Treasurer on the matter of land valuation, the second element, they said we need to also classify land and then we can then extrapolate on that. That is already underway to ensure that land of similar values are valued in a similar nature. For example, they indicated that if, for example, land is close to a river or a stream, then obviously it would be different from that is in a mountain with nothing in its grazing. And therefore, we're following that approach in terms of also making sure that moving forward for outer years like 2016-17, this approach was agreed upon, as I indicated in the slide, between a meeting with the AG, Department of Rural Development, CFO, as well as the Velo General. The third concern that we also want to also just to bring to the attention of the portfolio committee is the scarcity of the professionals in the land management sector. An entity who has been experiencing challenges in filling of the post in the past of the real estate manager, and we are hoping that the situation is going to improve in the 2016-17 financial year. We also are starting a process of engaging some of the financial institutions, academic institutions, to look at what can be done to actually try and find professionals in this space. Or maybe it needs to be declared that there is a scarce. Maybe to also get on to the Auditor General's report and the board's response. It is also important to reflect on the circumstances that led to the audit outcome for the year under review. The board felt it was important to have a common understanding on the existence of the two separate legal entities, and requested the Auditor General to have a regard to the structure of the Cambridge and Land Act as amended, and in reference to its reference to the Ngonyama Trust Act and Board. The Auditor General, after obtaining advice from their legal or technical team, concurred to the view that there were indeed two legal entities, namely Ngonyama Trust and the Ngonyama Trust Board. That was done on the 26th of July 2016. And noting that the audit was to end on the 30th of July, there was little time to actually deal with some of these matters. The Auditor General further advised that the separate financial statements should be prepared for each entity. This could not have been achieved within the time available before taking, because we're actually at the end of the audit for the 2015-16, actually 4 days just before the finalization of the audit. The Auditor General therefore issued the audit report to Ngonyama Trust Board's financial statement, which stated that the financial statement is not to do with, do not fairly present the financial position of the Ngonyama Trust Board as of 31st March 2016, and financial performance and cash flows for the year then ended in accordance with the South African GRAP standard, which is the requirement for us as the Ngonyama Trust Act to comply with. one must also indicate that this is just so, not because Ingonyama Transport ignored the Grab accounting standards, but had in fact included the second entity's transactions in the audit financial statements and not in a separate set of accounts, as this assertion only came at the end of the audit. It is safe to say that the adverse audit of outcome is of a technical and policy nature, as due to the inclusion of Ingonyama Trust transactions in the Ingonyama Trust Board audited financial statements. The inclusive format of the financial statement presentation was always adopted and audited in prior years, which comprehensively provided all relevant information pertaining to the transactions of the Ingonyama Trust Board and the Ingonyama Trust. The board, obviously, received guidance from the Department of Rural Development and National Treasury so that a clearly defined position would be followed for future audits. This could not be done as it was too late in the 2015-16 financial year. The board is satisfied that the financial information presented for audit was transparent and accurate, also that the audit outcome did not in any way indicate an environment of mismanagement and misappropriation of funds. In addition to other matters raised by the Auditor General, the board will ensure that housekeeping and internal controls are improved on an ongoing basis. Implementation of Auditor General's audit recommendations. With regard to the issue raised by the Auditor General about the two entities, the board, with the guidance from the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform and National Treasury, because it's of a policy nature, the board will also improve on internal controls and supply chain systems to avoid irregular and wasteful expenditure. In respect of housekeeping matters, an action plan will be developed and implemented in the 2016-17 financial year. The rest is general information, unless the members of the board want me to go through.
Just, I don't know whether any member of the board wants to add on the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think for now we end our presentation, but we'd be ready to respond to questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members have been listening to the presentation. You know some of the issues that you wanted to raise. You've noted the success stories. Also, can you please talk to the presentation? CEO, when looking at your report on the variances and some of the targets that you have not yet achieved, is this delay, delay, delay? And I'm not sure to what extent that one must be addressed. Delay of appointing the service provider, delay, I think that one must be rooted out.
Thanks, Chair. We welcome the presentation. I've noted the comments. I had questions, in fact, regarding the last part of audit. But I wanted to find out, maybe the first question, the recommendations which were stated in 2014-15, were they implemented, the Auditor General's recommendation? For 20, like the 14-15, not the same. And why was your report late? You know, it was late. It came on the 4th of October instead of the actual closing date. Can you get more information? What causes this? And can I get a clarity? You know, the Auditor General spoke of different things when they presented to us. For an example, we call it RAID, there's this concern about Ngonyama Trust, in a sense that there's this concern, for an example, concern of policies. I think you know, we've been waiting for policies. We, not only the HE, ourselves, outstanding policies, bazaar policy, Benson, we don't have a bazaar policy, it was not tabled yet. You have it as a board, but you don't have it here. Bazaar policy, for an example. Even the movement, you call it dispensement, is on SMBs. Payment policy. We don't have it. It's either give me, I did it, it's either it can be a donation form, can be a payment form. We don't have that policy. Or I don't have a copy of that policy that you have. And I'm saying it's a great concern that they've stated, and which is I concur with them, in a sense that the controls are not okay. I wanted to, because on the audit, I wanted to find out recommendation. That's why I was asking where they implemented the recommendation. Even this financial year, we have plus minus 3.12 million, which is irregular. Now, it tells a lot that they can recommend, but it's not implemented, or it's avoided till the next financial year. Now, last question, maybe on the audit general. Was this view of separation of entities where they only told you in July? It was only the same in July. There was no picture in the recommendation that there must be separation of entities last year in the previous financial year. We're talking about human resources. I think here, it's the under performance management, AG, that stated clear that you don't comply. I think you've stated that the vacancies, and I understand your technical saying, obviously, you go out but you don't get people coming in, professionals are not there. But what mechanism or what strategy can you come up with for us to attract or for us to get? You know, sometimes you can mentor someone within to get that qualification that is needed. And you stated clearly on that that you're supposed to have minus 6% of position are not filled. What strategy? You are on 94, if I calculate well, right? For filling of post. There's 6% which is at outstanding. What strategy are you coming up with? And I'm trying to make a follow-up on that. Under employment equity, I did not, unless you clear that, we don't have people with disability in your entity. Unless you clear that, maybe I'm for correction if there was, but there's a overall that entities or government entities must have 2% at least. I wonder if they, because above all now, I'm done, Che, so I'm slow maybe today. I wanted to find out, you know, there's a surplus of plus minus 55 million in your books. Now, does this show or imply that you can do it without the operational expense that as a department then you pay on a mama? Does it imply that because you can run on your own? I'm asking. I need an explanation. In that, because if there's a surplus, plus minus 55 million, and we give only quarter, not even half. Now you can stand on your own. Lastly, Chair, last question. I'm concerned with this money, the movement of money. It's only 6.17 million was given to traditional leaders. But above all, the available balance scheme is 196.56 million. Why little out but the budgeted for one, if I'm correct, it's 196.56 million. What strategy to address the issue of curbing debt? Because, and give us a reason why other traditional leaders receive the money. It's not stated, it's not the money out, but what was the reason? Or money not received, what was the reason? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. And also to indicate on their own revenue, they've got surpluses each and every year. But when they transfer, all the cash is being used each and every year. There is no surplus, even a cent. Honorable Magasha.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Let me welcome the report. Just points of clarity. On the board members, there's this board member advocate with the Tungwengwe. I just want the clarity. Is he not an official in the department or? I don't know. I just want to know. Is he allowed to be a board member and also an official? Just a clarity. Secondly, on page 20, number of, is that a reason for variance? MOUs could not be finalized in the under review as they involve third parties. I am not clear about municipalities there because there's always negative variance. I don't know why they don't respond, maybe. In terms of reference, I don't know what's happening there. And lastly, Chairperson. What is this? Lastly, Chairperson, there's an organizational conference and options. It is said that the board is seeking guidance from the department, National Treasurer and the Auditor General, in terms of the recommendations by the Auditor General. My as this committee chairperson, I don't think you have got of disputing the recommendations by the Auditor General. Thank you for adhering to other recommendations and the action plan for the recommendations of the Auditor General, but I don't think we do have guts of disputing the recommendations. Thank you.
Now, Chair, Ms. I can speak for 15 or 20 minutes. You'll try your best, but you don't have the mic. Chair, thanks. I join colleagues in welcoming the report, and I'll be very unfair to our Director General because he can't respond. Well, I suppose he can, Chair, but it's not his day. And say, both this report, and which includes the financials at the end, DG, represent the minimum of what we expect in reports. They highly learned people. Dr. Madlopa didn't steal that title. I do know with that title, at least for the past 15 years, I think it's even more. But it's simple, it's user-friendly, it's understandable, because the purpose of a report is then to be able to extract, to draw findings and then draw conclusions or deductions in much more learned language, deductions. As I'm saying, Chair, I'm merely making that desperate plea to refer the DG to this, because it would be so nice the day we could find a report in an acceptable format like this. Abantu Kepapandle are saying the ANC is very arrogant, and I wonder if they can hear some of the departmental officials what they could say. But then the ANC takes the beating for that kind of arrogance. Simple report following Treasury format with clear projections, as user-friendly as possible. But Chair, what I hail about the report, it also exposes. We don't seek to hide, to your principals, the shortfalls and the weaknesses. You simply expose them. We'll make findings and make recommendations will always make recommendations and encourage that this and that and that be done. I do not know what other, I was told by a highly learned person, I believe the chartered accountant yesterday, say for the interventions of the DM at the end. But I was told that if this committee wants anything, this is what treasury is, a treasury thing. If you want anything, give us that which you want. We want something simple as this. And I am so sorry, DG, I am abusing you, but I do know you can read my heart where it's moving from. But a chair of the board, you would understand that this is to commend your chair of the board, your just opening yourself up for scrutiny and for, you know, and hiding nothing to hide. You walk with your head held high because, you know, I've opened myself up to scrutiny. And this is what our constitution about checks and balances requires. And this is what we see here. It doesn't mean a board chair and a CEO. It doesn't mean all is well. I'll raise two or three points just to demonstrate that not all is well. My next point, because I'll always talk about the formats, because ability of any committee to engage and to draw useful points rests on this. But if people retreat to their specialist language in order to hide information, there's a problem. We all can speak specialist language. I can speak a language that very few on the other side could understand. I could speak that language. I could definitely speak and talk about unity and struggle of opposites, and talk about negation of negation, and talk about the categories and all those. I invite anyone on the other benches to please engage me. I know that no one could, you know. But you don't want a conversation and interactions to retreat to those specialist areas of ours, the most preferred, the most comfortable zone, in order to disallow engagement. Or to cover up, I'm not saying conclusively, but I'm saying, or, you know. Chair, the next point is on the separation between the trust and the board. I do not know my colleague, Honorable Njomi, as I call him, if we're on the same page, but I would have agreed with what I thought is part of his doubt, that perhaps given this very late, after thorough search of legal minds, legal opinions about the two entities, which I think us as a committee, I don't know in the previous term, Chair, you were there, us as a committee, probably we never even picked up also before. I could persuade committee that at this stage we allow that process of engagement between the ITB with respect, Chair Mamakatla. I read the notes to be saying the ITB is engaging nicely, trying to find each other with Auditor General instead of a standoff that sometimes before would have led to courts. Né? So perhaps, Chair, I wanted to persuade committee that let that process unfold in earnest, and in any other new financial year, we would expect. Remember, AG is at our disposal as well. We could always call on the AG and the department, the parent department, to please indicate to us how far the process is and what are the legal imperatives. But we are now all wiser. And I don't want us, Chair, as a committee, to steal the show on the separation between the board and the trust. To the best of my listening, you can see my ears. Now, to the best of my listening, I never picked up committee to have picked that up before. I think it was picked up technically. And we appreciate that you're coming clean about it. Dr. Matlopa went further after the presentation of the CFO to speak at length about it. From where I sit, I'm very impressed, and would wish that they take the process through to its logical conclusion. I'm not allowed to answer, Chair, but my understanding is that to advocate Gwangwa, whatever. You want me to page at waste time? He represents the ministry. So ministers appoint people into the, but there will be response from there. So, or represents the department into the entity. as a nominee there, but I'm not sure about that information. The budget performance, Chair, because I said I demonstrated one point that there's a good and a bad. I read here, Judge and CEO, you are at 98% in terms of page 11. You are at 98% performance on predetermined objectives, if you like. Yeah. That should be hailed, because in my notes, you have scope of 2% variance. You can either be 98 right through to 102. Anything that falls below that in any other committee of parliament or legislature or municipality, it should be decried as unacceptable. But there you are at 98. God, I get Dr. Majob Kanbalam, I arrive at 97.75, but with a little understanding of fractions, let's say it's 98, yeah. So
partially.
Outstanding. There's an outstanding 0.25. No, that's fine. I concede to the nearest it's 98% as a whole number. That's a good performance, Judge, and thank you for that. But the worry about it, you have one of your contradictions, the one I was talking about, that 98 comes out of one program on page 12. There's a program there on page 12. That skyrocketed, rocket, you know, a rocket scientist, somebody like, you know, yeah. Land management, Chair, rocketed to 149. And that rocketing of land management program too led to the overall good reflection of performance to be at 98. Yet it is based on a wrong performance. We plan for 100% and we must get 98 up to 102 and not 149. And then that 149 condones the rest of the underperformance on same page 12 on point on traditional council is 70, rural development 91 and administration 81. That 149 cushions. Yet the 149 is wrong and therefore is wrongly cushioning. It's an intellectual exercise. I'm opening out. Highly welcome engagement with my point. I would highly welcome an engagement with my point. Because once you are as open as this, you give us space to engage constructively. So I'm becrying, Chair. The second thing, Chair of the Board and the CFO, about that same page is if you compare it to page 19. On page 19, it's about land tenure rights approved by the Board. Am I correct before I proceed to suppose that that's under land management? Yeah. You see now, I put myself inside. We approved half. We approved about 610 out of 1300. Ne? We approved 610. Meaning, had we approved 1300 as we had proposed to do in the planning, so it means that 149 would be 300%. So there's an abnormality there. Please follow my logic. I think logic is common across all disciplines, be it law, finance, political. Logic is just logic. It's all the same. It's the way of thought and consistency. So in my logic here, I pick up that this 149% on page 12 is contradicted by the fact that we still did less than half of the 1300 we should have done. So it should have, in other words, been 110, it should have been 300% performance, right? And lastly, Chair, to be consistent, now the DG will be very happy that I'm consistent in terms of the budget performance. In my calculation, I tried to look for it, ne? And they asked Mr. Mia if it's hidden, but I've done my own calculations. The budget performance is at 55. I tried, I would say I'm informed by page 38. I'm informed by page 38. Again, nice user-friendly page. from this page, or I estimated, or I did the calculator, used the calculator, I don't know, but my estimates won't be bad, please trust me. We have a variance of 36 million out of a total of 87, so I estimated it at about 45. Somebody can give me a very learned exact figure, but I estimated it there. Slightly below 50%, in other words. Now, this budget performance, CFO, Chair, that's my last point, is not acceptable in Parliament. Please don't ever come with it again. Unless if I read it wrongly, then I stand to be corrected. If we are on the same page about it, please don't ever bring us 55% performance. Utadu Matias summed it nicely yesterday and said, people blame the ANC. People don't say, no, the ITB administration and CFO didn't spend enough and judge Ngwenya now. People just say, no, the ANC is not doing it. Kandimali is not working. Am I consistent now, DG, in hitting hard on this point? Or you still think I'm soft a bit? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Mguni. Honorable Chabile.
Yeah, thanks, Chair President. From the past reports of the ITB, I sense that there's there are tensions between yourselves and municipalities, and that as a result, maybe those are some of the things that affect your ability to meet your objectives, particularly where there are third parties involved. And usually the other people, who else will they be except municipalities? So what is your relationship with municipalities? And I think That will help. And of course, this will talk again to your communication strategies, how you communicate, and relationship management. Because as an entity like this one, we're at the center where you relate with lots of people. And if we don't manage our relationship, if we don't up our capacity to manage diverse relationships with diverse institutions, then we, I guess we'll be in trouble.
Honorable Matila.
Thank you very much. I wish to join everyone in welcoming and express appreciation for the report. Chair, I just wish to have the CEO just unpack briefly to us the land invasion prevention strategies that they are applying, because indeed there has been a very, very steep increase with regard to that. One is wanted to know how do they manage that. Chair, then I'm a bit confused, and I need some guidance. There is in the board a Dr. T. Mbata, and there's a in the audit committee a Dr. M. S. Mbata. Are they one in the same, or two different individuals? Is there a mistake in terms of the translations here?
Brother.
Oh, husband and wife.
That's it.
Like the Ngwenya and the Ngwenya
charge. I think the questions have been addressed in all the delegation, ITP delegation have been noting the question. The issue of the vacancy. I think this issue of the vacancy has been in your report for too long now. I think something must be done, because I don't understand if the first person who was the first candidate in the interview has declined the offer, procedurally the second person must be
taken.
Yes, but what is the difficulty? What was the difficulty in doing that one? Because this issue of the real estate manager, yes, has been in your books for quite some time. And I don't understand, why are you keeping, are you not filling this vacancy if you've got the surplus of millions? What is difficult to say? Oh. Then the other issue, you have touched the issue of the scarcity in the profession of land management sector. I'm happy that you will just consider that one. The challenge is the ITB, you have got money, try to go to schools, encourage people or talk with the management to encourage some of the learners who want to pursue their career on land management. Then you fund them. Because you must invest more on education. You must build skills, you know, amongst the young people. Then the other one, the issue of the educational award and the FUNSA, what is it? Sengibiza ngeSwati. Funda Zulu. Ngithi FUNSA Zulu. And the FUNSA Zulu bursary. Looking at the surplus, looking at the issue, the challenge that you are having, the fees must fall. Because this is not a challenge of government only. We must partner all private sector, government, you know, everyone. We must enter into a partnership and try to assist where we can. Is there any way, maybe if that can be considered, judge, you know, as I've indicated before, that the educational award, I don't think that they are assisting our learners, because we pay 10,000, 12,000, while on the other side, you know, the education fees in the higher institutions are very high. So 10,000 is just a drop in an ocean. Can't we integrate this FUNSA Zulu and this educational award to be one thing, so that when we were taking four or five students to the university, we are able to pay the fees for the four of them, not paying half, you know. Because at the end of the day, other learners will be just, other students will be dropped out, because we'll pay the registration, then what about the other fees, accommodation and tuition? The issue of the increase, can the CEO unpack the increase in the compensation of employees? Because the vacancy has not yet been filled, two vacancies. From 14, 15, now 15, 16, we're going towards 16, 17. There's an increase of 5.4%, while we've not yet, increased our staff establishment. And this issue of the reviewal of this staff establishment, I think it's taking long also. Because when looking at the previous report, you are busy reviewing the staff establishment, you know. Can that matter be finalized? Over to you, CEO, and the judge.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chair, what we'll do is we'll share the responses with the CEO, CFO, as well as the Deputy Chair of the Board, Ms. Bing. But maybe just to pick out, I'm not following the sequence necessarily, but just because this may also integrate itself to the manner in which I respond to the question raised by the Honourable Song. The question raised by Honorable Ntshabeleng about the relationship between the ITB and municipalities, whether there is tension. I think generally, like all enterprises, when you execute competing mandates, there is inherent tension, which is not necessarily an unhealthy one most of the time. But what I want to say here is the following. Where in some instances we make reference to MOUs with traditional council and other stakeholders, we mean municipalities, because there is a gap in various legislation in how organs of state are operating. So from the ITB side, we started way back in 2009 to develop memoranda of understanding with various stakeholders that we think we are in the same sphere of operation, critically those being local government. And that process, in our view, is to enable us to function better. So the tension then is not a deliberate one, but it arises out of either misunderstanding or completely not knowing the existence of the ITB and its role. By way of example, some municipalities in the province do not own land at all. But they've got functions and responsibilities that relate to land. Then the tension would arise as a result of a municipality flouting its own laws, for instance, building a municipal office without a tenure on land, which tenure you access firstly through the traditional council and then the ITB. That is one instance where the tension would arise, because the ITB is entrusted or mandated to manage land. The next thing is you find a community hall built by municipality without consultation. And that's the kind of maybe tension that we can talk about, to say, yes, it exists, but it gets resolved once we get to know one another. Sometimes it's not only municipalities, also Department of Mineral Resources grants people exploration rights without consulting the ITB. And the next thing is we see people up in arms and we get blamed as if we have already granted prior consent. So the relationship depends from municipality to municipality, to what extent has there been an engagement. Sometimes you find municipalities on their own taking sand without any authority from ITB land or quarry, for instance. Those are matters that first start with what one would refer to as conflict, and then thereafter then it gets resolved. But they are very slow, municipalities, to take decision in having MOUs with the ITB so that the functioning could be better. That's where it comes from. And of course there is a turnover of personnel sometimes in municipality. This year you speak to one personnel, as soon as he or she begins to understand the process, gets promoted or leave and go to other area and start back. So I wouldn't say therefore that there is a uniform answer to say the relationship is good, but it's not bad. All I can say, there's a gap in terms of understanding the difference between the municipal mandate on land and the ownership of land. With regards then to, if I may go back to and try to answer some of the questions by the Honorable Zhong, with regards to why is the report late this year, says it arrives on, it arrived on the 4th of October. The reason is because of the engagement with the Auditor General. Firstly, we must place on record that our approach with the AG was that as far as possible, we must try and reach an understanding that at best there was an oversight, if not an error, on both sides, which is common to both the AG because it has got a responsibility to audit us and ourselves without emphasizing this distinction on the existence of two entities. But this committee would recall in one of my oral presentations when I did indicate, and I even read the act, that there are two entities. One of the problems, at that time the Auditor General kept on insisting that we did not value land. And I recall that at one stage when I was responding, I indicated that the PFMA, which is the legislation to which we are responding, came after the trust was in place. But the qualification as far as land valuation is concerned was that we did not recognize the value of the land at the time we acquired land. And we said it was impossible to recognize the value of a land in terms of PFMA, which was not in place then. That I think I've made in oral presentation. But I think the AG has realized itself, at least this year more importantly, that they must deal with this once and for all by obtaining an opinion, which we believe was the correct thing. And therefore, when they were ultimately advised that it is indeed correct that there are two entities, it was in July, 4 days before the audit closed. As soon as they pointed this out to say they agree with us, but we must immediately then comply, within 4 days it was impossible. We then engaged them to try and get an extension of time so that we can reflect in our financials the existence of the two entities. It was only when we all agreed that it was not feasible to attend to this important aspect in the current period, and hence therefore the financials were sent later than was required. For that reason, Chairperson, we must also say that, because we didn't say it at the beginning, we sincerely apologize for that delay. It was beyond our control, but we wanted to comply as timely as possible. But we also believe that it is important that the committee and everybody else understand the importance of these two entities for two reasons, if not two. One reason is, as has been discussed earlier on, the impression is that the ITB has got a surplus of money that it can do many things with it. That is at face value, but that is not correct because the money belongs to the beneficiaries, the communities, and members of the communities. Hence, there can be no surplus. This is not the money that comes from the fiscus. When the CFO was presenting, he indicated the money that comes from the fiscus is 18 million rand out of a budget of over 100 million rand. The reality is that if we were only reliant on that money alone, we would be in deficit. So what the ITB does, it supplements what the shortfall which would have come from the National Treasury in a very substantial figure. It is for that reason then that invariably the transfer payment will be completely utilized and we go beyond that. So it is therefore important to understand that the money that remains as net income is not the money in the true sense that we would need to send back to the treasury because we have failed to use it. It has got its own users and owners. We have tried in the earlier presentation when in the first slides of the presentation to illustrate when we say Ingonyama Trust, the context of Ingonyama Trust. We make that point clear that if we do not recognize that Ingonyama Trust is an administrator of land which belongs to the people, historically predating all the legislation that we are referring to, we will be denying people the right to land. And therefore, we're just put there by the government to help administer a system that has been taking longer to manage some of the affairs as required. So it is in that context that this issue of two entities be understood, that if there was a surplus, in our view, it would be a surplus if there was money that was not utilized but which had been transferred from the department and has been voted, because the money which our parliament votes is not the 100 and odd million rand. It's the 18 million rand that we get. That is what is tabled before parliament, that's what gets appropriated to Ingonyama Trust Board and not to Ingonyama Trust. Ingonyama Trust, ordinarily when you have a trust, the trustees constitute a trust board. Hence, the oversight in many instances, even in the conversation, because once you say Ingonyama Trust Board, you assume that those are all trustees. But this is an act of parliament which says, we've got a trust, but there's only one trustee, and it's not a listed entity. The trust owns land. But for efficiency or other reasons, the government says, we will then create another entity, but we call it Ingonyama Trust Board, whose members are not trustees. That is how the ITB is structured in the legislation. The minister appoints, subject to consultation, board members. And just to also illustrate what the Honorable Magadha was asking, is that in terms of the legislation, the minister's powers extend that he can appoint from public service and from non-public service. When the board came into existence in 1998, more than half of the board members were public servants. The advocate Robbenheimer, now retired, was the head of what is now called COPTA at the time. There was Mr. Fritti Brooks, there was Mr. B.L. Shabalala, they were all in the public service, and at the same time they were board members. So with regards to Advocate Ngwengwe, the minister chose that it is appropriate that he has got somebody closer to the department that he appoints as an additional member of Ingonyama Trust Board. So the next response relates to, it's always unfortunate when the AG present about us when we're not here, because we don't know what else is being said. Not because we say they're saying wrong things and so on, but it's a better engagement. But I think in the fairness of our system, one is of course entitled to a hearing and entitled to a response. Yes. But we believe that would help to narrow the gap as we move forward, because at one stage this committee even offered to mediate when there was a very evident tension between ourselves and the AG. But again, on your advice, the committee, we engaged them, and they were receptive to engagement. But we also, it's also our view that they have their own problems as well, in that the people who report here sit in the head office in Pretoria. The people who do the audit sit in the province. So as among themselves, there is absence of coherence in their views. So we do believe, nevertheless, that because like the Honorable Nguni says, our responsibility is to account to the public through you. And therefore, it doesn't serve us to try and hide anything, even if it's bad. We gain nothing with that. So even for the Auditor General, I'm not being sarcastic when I'm saying, as human beings, they're not error-free. They should have detected the error that we have pointed out to them. They shouldn't have held it against us once they ultimately concede that we are right. Because in our view, we're being as transparent as possible. But it's not about them really, because what is important is they've got a particular responsibility and a huge one to fulfill. We appreciate the engagement and the understanding. But let me slightly divert here to illustrate the significance of that engagement. Because we have noted over the weekend, you know, in the media, where really, let me say, something that is far from the truth, but there is some element of correctness in it. You would notice that in the past financial year, we were audited and qualified because, according to the AG, we retained royalties which should have gone to the National Treasury. But in the media, they are saying, together with the National Treasury, we should have claimed the money which is with Treasury, which belongs to the ITB. So on reading that alone, it indicates to me at least that the National Treasury is sitting with a problem, that they sit with people's royalties which they do not know how to distribute. Now, to seek some kind of maybe modified good governance, we must look back that we have not accounted for royalties, we have not claimed royalties which belong to the Ngonyama Trust. Meanwhile, we have persisted that royalties that accrue to Ngonyama Trust accrue to the people. They should not have gone to the National Treasury. So part of the engagement, therefore, in seeking guidance will be not only to deal with how to prepare the financials, but to say, how do we recover substantial royalties that are sitting with the National Treasury now for over 5 years? It's another challenge that is going on. So we believe that engagement is fruitful, but it will require coherence on the part of the AG's office as well as the National Treasury. If I may say, Chairperson, our last meeting with the National Treasury and the AG was in fact last week in Pretoria, with a view of seeking guidance on this. So the question then from the Honorable Mhlongo, that were we only told in July about the existence of these entities, is in that context that we held the view that there were two entities. But until the Auditor General was convinced, we couldn't have prepared our financials according to the existence of two entities. So in July, 26th of July, they sent us an email to say their legal opinion stroke technical advice concurs with the view that there are two entities. But what we found a little bit harsh was to say, 26th of July, you expect us that by the 31st of July, we shall have prepared two sets of financials representing two entities. That is essentially what happened in this context. With regards to the question on HR, I will leave this to our CEO, as well as with regards to employment equity, I will leave it to my colleagues. But I will because mine was to amplify the question that I'm answering now from Honorable Mhlongo, that can we do without the other transfer payment, because in his reading of our books, we sit with a surplus of 55 million rand. And my answer is firstly, no, because this is people money. In fact, we need more from government, if we can. Yes, but the point I'm coming to is that the board is a government instrument to manage communal land and to help capacitate the people. In a real world, there must be time when the government says the people are on their own, they can now run their own affairs, we don't need the board. Whatever they derive from their income is non-government issue, no, etc. But I don't want to go there because I don't know what is in store. I'm merely commenting that to say the land is not state land. It's land held in trust for the people. It generates income, but at this stage, it's far less than what it can achieve because of the resources available. In Ngonyama Trust, one of the problems and what causes some delays, which the chairperson has also alluded to, is the fact that on management, we've got a flat structure. Once we address the issue of management, because to say this organogram is work in progress, simply because it's the CEO and two or three managers are not there, nobody attends to that. As a result, it absorbs a fair amount of some board members' time to try and help in that. Once we address the issue of adequate management, we'll be able to fast-track a number of issues. So I think then what I wish to do, Chairperson, is maybe to allow Ms. Beng to chip in and then hand over to the CEO to finalize the comments that we intend making. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Beng?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, I'll respond to the questions that were asked by the chair, because I've had those questions and I think in the past we have responded to them. The one is about educational awards where students are given 10,000 rand. That has been the case for the awards that are given by the TCs themselves, the traditional councils. But with the funder Zulu bursary, it's a different case altogether. And why we do not have any figures in terms of what has been awarded to those students is because it only started this year. So when we work, when you see the figure for educational awards being that small, it's because it's money that comes from the TC's allocation to the students. They recommend the number of students that they want awarded those bursaries. And they set the limit and say it is 10,000. But we're discussing that with Dr. Madlopa, and she was saying they are trying to convince the TCs to actually give the full amount where possible. But that will also depend on the funds available within a particular TC. But as the ITB, we do give full amounts in terms of the bursary recipients that are awarded by the ITB itself. Okay, and then the other one is about vacancies. I think the chair spoke about if somebody declines an offer and was the first preferred candidate, so why don't we take the second one? In some cases, there's no second one. You just have one person who really would qualify to fill that post, and therefore it means going back again and having to re-advertise the post. And I think it's been highlighted that that happens particularly in those posts where we require discussed skills in terms of land management. Maybe the other one. Yeah, our policies, I think even the last time we were here, we did indicate that the policies had been sent to, yeah, but we can send them again, but they have been sent. Disbursement policy, the bursary policy, those have been sent to the office, to the committee official.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the Honorable Mushongo, there was a question about the 2014-15 Auditor General's recommendations. Yes, we did come up with an implementation plan, action plan, which was a turnaround plan, which was also presented to our audit committee, and the implementation thereof moved off from the, I'm going to talk about the other issue later, which stems from the then new irregular expenditure. In terms of the, I'm not going to talk to the policies because Mrs. Finn has responded to that. I note the comment that with the finding that it is again an irregular expenditure, that it means controls are not okay. But yes, I would actually address it now. The irregular expenditure that we have emanates from an extension that was granted to Rennie's father for all bookings. But I must also indicate that there is already an SLA with Rennie's Travel, but we are currently addressing it then in terms of how where to from here. But it's not like something that didn't probably go through the normal processes of the board. I think the chairperson has responded to the issue of the two entities, whether it was there before. In the audit findings, you wouldn't find it, but it would have indirectly been hidden behind provisions, because that's where it comes from. Because we were saying we've got to show it as provisions, because it's not monies that is our monies, it's monies that belongs to the clans and the communities, as they are made. They are actually a portion of the funds that they should actually accrue to them in line with the Act. The issue of to get a new strategy to deal with people, I think it's noted, it has been raised by Honorable Shomo as well as the chairperson. But maybe also to indicate, because of the challenge with the land, the real estate manager, the board has separated the functions to have town planning, because it's land planning, as well as then the tenure, a person dealing with tenure. And that has yielded positive results, I must say, because the land planning specialist has now started, so which means already there is at least a person there to try and address some of the issues. The land tenure person, we didn't get a suitable candidate for that, but the process has since been re-advertised. I must actually say that in terms of people with disabilities, in terms of our employment equity, we really don't have. I know it has been brought up in the previous committee. It was in the third quarter report, as well as the fourth quarter, both third and fourth. We're actually looking into it, and we're hoping that we will probably have somebody in this current financial year. The money available for traditional councils, and whether we do have a strategy, as all Mrs. Bing has indicated, this is funds that obviously should be resulting in projects at traditional council level. And we have started to engage the traditional councils, those that have got balances that they could actually start our projects on. And our rural development person, specialist, is the one that's actually moving from one TC to the other, trying to make sure that these funds are used. We also are engaging them also in the sense that at least there should be some kind of a percentage dedicated for bursaries, so that we're able to address the issue of the minimal allocation that they get. Because in some instances, you would find that the TC, when you look at the balance that they have, they can afford more. But from the TC resolution, it starts to be like
almost like a dwindling kind of an amount. So we are already engaging with them, and we're hoping to see a different picture in the 2016-17 financial year. I think the issue of disputing, we're not, as Honorable Makada was saying, we're not disputing the issue of the audit. However, the engagement with the National Treasury, maybe I need to emphasize this, it is because they need to set, because National Treasury set standards for audits, even for the OG, the AG, and therefore they need to be on par with us and the AG in terms of how should this be treated in future. Maybe just also for the members, Honorable Portfolio Committee members, the treatment of this set of financials would not even have only been applicable to 2015-16 only. They have said they would also want to look at prior years. Now, if we are to go prior years, the National Treasury and the AG need to agree how much far back should we actually go in terms of the treatment of the separation of this financial. So because of that, the National Treasury and AG have to be engaged, and we have to have it in writing first, so that come time of audit for 2016-17, we're very much clear in terms of how far back we can go, and therefore in terms of the separation of the financials of the two entities, and whether also we need to look at two entities or just two sets of financials within the same entity. So those are some of the discussions that need to actually be looked at, both at a technical level but also at a policy level, because they will have implications on both. We appreciate the comments from Honorable Ngoni, and I think we'll take strength from there and hope to improve from our report. I think, Honorable Ngoni, your analysis is correct in terms of land management, that it was mainly that particular performance indicator, and we are actually looking at the underperformance on the other areas within the program. The Honorable Mandela, I think we are looking currently at the land invasion strategy. There is a draft which is going to be tabled at the next board meeting, which was, time and again, we've been reactive more than being proactive, with not coming up with a clear cut strategy. So we have already put a draft in place, and we are tabling it to the board for consideration, and hopefully roll it out for all the areas in order to try and prevent this land invasion. The second one, we need to apologize with the error. With Dr. Mbatha is Dr. M.S. Mbatha. I think it was by error, because she is commonly known as Dr. G.T. Mbatha. So I must actually apologize for that. Her correct initial is M.S. Mbatha. Regarding the chairperson, the issue of the suitable candidates, I think that has been addressed, and we'll look into the issue of scarcity. In fact, as I said, we already have started to look at UKZN, but obviously with these disruptions that are currently happening, we put everything on hold, pending whatever we can look at in future. With regard to the amounts, yes, I think we noted the comments from the last hearing that we had in terms of the amounts that were actually awarded, and we, as I said earlier on, we are actually looking into that and working with the traditional councils. But as Mrs. Bing has indicated, with regard to Fundazu, which is obviously yes, a fusion, trying to fuse the two, they will actually pay higher than the traditional councils. The increase on compensation of employees, I must actually say that there is a standard annual increase which gets factored in on an annual basis. But also, over and above that, I must indicate that there were posts that were vacant in 2014-15 financially comparatively, which now have been filled. For example, ECO's position, it was vacant then, now it's filled, and obviously it would push the increase on compensation of employees. The post of Deputy Director Administration was also vacant in 2014-15, 2015, and therefore in 2015-16 it was then filled, and thus that had an impact, as well as the assistant registry clerk was also vacant then, and then it was filled in 2015-16, and thus then we'll see the increase on the compensation of employees. The issue of review of the staff establishment, yes, Chairperson, I agree. It's been an issue that has really been coming to the committee. It has been raised. At least now we do have some draft, and we're hoping that that is going to be finalized probably before the end of this financial year. I think we've tried to look at, we note, Honorable Mkuni, as well, that the budget performance, as we've analyzed it, as said, we will look into how we can improve on those. And we appreciate also the candid comments from the committee members, as well as the suggestions put. And as we go back, we'll try and work on those so that we're able to improve as an entity. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable,
is it a follow-up? Yes,
okay. Follow-up question.
Chair, I have four follow-up questions. The first one, if you're saying irregular expense lanes are relates from traveling agent, do you have a policy in traveling, yes or no? Then if you have it, it must be presented to us. What causes or what action that you've taken against? I don't know. Traveling agent is an external party, but they work with an individual within that entity. Unless you explain those dynamics that I don't understand. And maybe if I, what action? Because PFMA, you must take action. So, no? Now, another thing, another question maybe directly to the chair. You are saying the entities or beneficiary communities, but each and every year there's surplus and beneficiary. When you check socio-economic condition, people are still stagnant as they are 3 years ago, but there's surplus. Now, why that money is not used to the beneficiary? Another question to direct, I think, or to the members of the board. You know, I was just checking this, Chair, sorry, it's a follow-up based on the response. I was checking these two presentations. There's a diagram for here, like this one. This is for us, like here. But there's this one, and actually, it's about the geography for this one. Okay? I'm not sure now. The question then it goes up based on your response and the way I understand it. Now, you receive funds from the national. Do you receive funds from COVID?
No.
Okay, no. Okay. That was a quick. No.
I must not forget that I'm still the chair.
No, it's fine, Chair. Yeah, I think another chair and members must explain, Uguti, you know, the question is when, I'm not saying, but my analysis tells me clear, but when you check, remember, if it's money is for beneficiary, we must see impact, the outcome. Because for the past 3 years, the project that you've stated, bazaaries, yes, but you still have a surplus based on whatever contribution or impact that you do with any communities, different communities. You know, one of the projects, when I started, the chair will remember, you were donating trackers, remember? They were yellow, red, orange, not west, blue. Remember the one that debate that I had? Now, when you check, I went to one of the community, you gave different ego, what do you call it in English? Different...
Is
clans, yes. I went to one of the clans, I remember, that tracker is not working anymore. I'm saying, we want to see outcome, and if there's surplus, things like that, they must continue, or go the next relationship, feasibility, when you touch, this thing is tangible, and that surplus must be utilized. It's what we are saying. It's what we are saying. Thank you.
Yes.
This board is not recorded accordingly. 1 year has passed. The minister gave them 1 year. It has passed. It has. No, it has passed. Maybe you remind the minister. Extension again is the extent. They gave them a pay employee extent. Now, unless you correct me directly to you, because I don't see where you respond to that.
would you respond first on the last one, or would you rather, now that you've got the privilege of attendance of the, because the department is not just me and the spectator, they are the ones who administer the last question. Or would you answer for your own self?
No, thank you, Chair. The point is that I think the Honourable Member has got inadequate information.
Okay.
That's why we're in a position to respond.
Right.
As I understand the question is that the tenure of the board has come to an end. It did indeed. The only thing is, maybe he's been confused by the fact that he still sees the same faces. He expected
different
people. Perhaps that's where the problem is. The board was appointed in full scale in terms of the act for another 4 years. So as we sit here, we are not an extended board, but we are a fully tenured board until 2021.
And just on that, Judge, I don't know. There's even support officials, there's Hansard and everything. I don't think on record that has ever been shared with the Parliament.
No, I think, but in our own report, formal report, in the quarterly report we presented, that the minister has now appointed the following members, and I think of the new members, there are four Amakosi who are now board members. But if then it has not been reported in the protocol observed, that then that's where I will defer to the DG and everything else. But as we currently sit, that's what I'm saying.
Thank you, Judge. Before you take the other questions, DG, I'm sorry to draw you to the spotlight. You may have to come in and make a comment on this.
Chair, I think the facts are as stated by the judge. except, of course, the faces you see on the reports are the faces of the board during of the members of the board during the period under review.
Yeah.
And Advocate Ngwengwe is not among the new members of the board. He is no longer a member of the board. That's just another clarification. But for the period under review, he was still a member of the board. Hence, his name is still there. But the minister has indeed appointed a new board.
Probably... I'll rest the matter and then revert chairing back to the chair. Chair, the issue was response to Honorable Nhlongo's last question about the board. Now, the information just shared is that there's a new board for a 4-year tenure, and there may be similar faces, but it's a new board duly appointed. And I then invited the DG because I was saying off-cuff with our committee support, with Hansard, with committee members in attendance, I do not think that the committee had that information. And I think when you got in chair, DG was alluding to that. So I wanted to rest it, DG, on behalf of the department, the ministry, the members of the support to the ministry. I saw more ministers when we're in. May you please advise the committee quite procedurally. But we take kindly, Judge, when you say in the quarterly report and in all, you have reflected that. It's just that then it's your parents who must then report to the committee that you as children can't report that on a light note here. So, DG, we shall request, because you would know, of course, that the committee has always had an interest on the matter. Not bias, but interest as in you want to know who's responsible for what. And on behalf of the chair and all of ourselves, take the opportunity. Judge, you're still the chair, ne? Congratulations.
Yes, in fact, Chairperson, as you would understand, the chair of the board is appointed by the king. It's either the king or his nominee.
Yeah.
So my nomination by him, so I'm not tenured as a result. At his pleasure, he can recall me at any time or he can.
But
there is a formal reappointment of me as the chair. Yes. As well as Ms. Bain, who is appointed by the minister as deputy chair. The other members, maybe for the record, Advocate Robin Heimer is still on. Mr. B.L. Shabalala, Nkosi Ugumete, Nkosi Mavundla, Nkosi Shabalala, and Nkosi Ubed. But like I said, like the Honorable Member is, or Dr. Mbatha as well, is still the member. But I'm sure if there was an oversight on the department, we would just leave that to what the Honorable Ngonyas suggested.
Chair of the board, yeah. Thank you very much. I don't want to use up the chair's powers while she's here. But I just felt we were in the middle of a point, so it was going to be awkward for her to just take it from there. Chair, like I had briefed earlier, I wrap it up this one aspect. On the note that DG and Ministry will do their part. But thank you very much, Judge, for updating us. The department must still do its part insofar as it. And from where we sit, I don't think there's anything. It's not a query, but it's just so that we have regular information and we speak to portfolios accordingly and in line. As I'm saying, I was about to say congratulations, but I feel small. Perhaps it will be done by the chair in wrapping up the meeting. But Chair, there are then some two or three sub-questions by Honorable Shong. I suppose that was all, Chair, and we'll have an early break today, really. That's nice.
Gentlemen, I'm going to follow up the follow up.
No, I'm going to respond to this.
Okay.
With regard to the traveling agency, it is the agency's assertion that it's irregular. Let me just put it that way. Because there is an SLA with the traveling agency. An SLA which was drawn up by the board in terms of the service level agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So, however, in their own analysis, they feel it's irregular, but we're trying to address in terms of how they recommended we should deal with it. So there wouldn't have been a person charged for any wrongdoing. We have a subsistence and traveling policy which was approved last year, not for the period under review. It wasn't there then. This we're talking 2015-16. The SNC policy was approved last year for the 2015-16 for this financial year, so that's unfortunate. With regard to the beneficiaries, as we have indicated, when funds are with the Ngonyama Trust Board, the traditional council's concerns indicate how the funds should be utilized. And it's only now, as I indicated as I was talking, that we are now going out to them and engaging with them and start sitting with them, trying to assist them to come up with business plans so that then we can have projects at community level so that then the funds can be utilized. We understand, yes, something that ordinarily, because of the poverty level, that we should actually be vigorous in trying to make sure that those funds get utilized. And the comments are noted, and the concern is really noted. We take it to us as we move forward in terms of our implementation.
Chair, maybe just to finalize the response in respect of the further questions by Honorable Mhlong. Without really adequate information with regards to the tractor which he says he found no longer operating, it would be difficult for us to respond. But what we can put unequivocally off record here is that the tractors that the ITP purchased and for which it has accounted for here were not donated to anybody else. They are still stored in the warehouse. They are released as per request to each community because you can't have a tractor for the rest of the year. They are seasonally used. So we've got a record for that. But if the Honorable Member has got more details of the specific community, we are willing to undertake that investigation. We can also maybe put on record that there is always a competition at particular intervals about the allocation of tractors to communities, either by municipalities or the Department of Agriculture. Those are some of the tractors which we sometimes find lying fallow and we are asked to help with the service, because what normally happens in those instances is that nobody knows where the logbook is, there's no budget for maintenance, etc. Those which were purchased by the ITP were informed by the experience to say they need service, they need a driver, police, etc., etc. So we can account for all of them. None of them is not functioning as we currently speak. The other question by the Honorable Mhlongo, he made reference to the pictorial presentation where we've got the minister is the executive authority, then the trustee and so on. And he pointed out that there was one presentation that we made for the committee and the one I don't know we made for what. If I may indicate, the one that does not reflect the minister at all was the first draft, which I think the secretariat was trying to comply. Either they electronically sent to the secretariat of this committee or to the AG, I'm aware of that, the one which does not reflect the minister. And it does not also reflect, it only reflect the king, etc. But there was no intention of having two sets of documents with conflicting information. The one that you show with the minister's executive authority is the last final draft which we believe we have circulated, we are working on. I think the issue of the disbursements to communities, the CEO has adequately answered that. But I may just add that from experience that we have, communities always need capacity before they can manage money. We may be seen as releasing money slower than we should, but past experience has shown us instances where money is released without having thought through. Then once you think while the money is here, you create projects that exist in paper but not in practice. It's for that reason that we've taken note of the comments and the concerns. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, CEO and the judge, for the response. Are there any follow-up questions? Maybe before we conclude, the page, I'm just looking at the number. This page, Golden Services. There's no number here. CFO, is it 2.1? million for traveling and accommodation of board members. And also, the motor vehicle expenses, maybe if that can be unpacked, because the presentation was indicating that there's no vehicle that has been bought in the year under review. Can you also clarify the issue of the audit fees internally, which is 150,000, and also that's one of the internal audit committee members remuneration. Just clarify it. Then the other one, the human resource and communication expenses. Do we have a communication strategy? How often do you communicate with the communities? Any newsletter where you communicate with the communities about, you know, you're dealing with traditional cultures in traditional communities on the activities maybe that the board has been engaged on? The project launches an informative meeting, the 1.9 million. Can also that be unpacked? Because we have to understand whether there was any value for money or not. Over to you, CFO or CEO. I think on the other ones on page 42, we need to get the details report. A pie chart there, agricultural equipment, what are those equipment, at what cost, the breakdown. Because this goods and services thing, you know, at the end of the day, you fail to understand what is happening. Buildings and other fixed structures, heritage assets, what are those assets and equipment, a breakdown of those assets and equipment. I think the computer one also breaks down, and the software and other intangibles, so that we know, you know, if you're talking of the heritage assets, what is it that you, what do you mean? What is it that you provide? Honorable Chabeli?
Madam President, I just want to find that if there are contributions that the ITV is making when there are cultural events, in rural KwaZulu-Natal, particularly the root dance and other, if there is any, or what happens if you get a requisition from the king to fund a certain program? Can the ITB say no, it doesn't fall within our mandate, or anything that comes from the king as the sole trustee, does it just fly if there's any requisition? Or can the boss say no to the king? The king is a chopper. Can you budget for it and make sure that it is delivered within the next 2 years? I'm just not those kind of questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe, Chairperson, let me start with the last question by the Honorable Chabeleng. The way the board works and has done so for many years is that not only with the king, but because the question relates to the king, I will deal with it in that context. We know that if in this report, for instance, those are some of the issues I try and highlight. Because I think people who
want to understand more about the ITB, you cannot maybe explain over one day, but I just wish to contextualize the answer as appear in the chairperson's report in this annual report, Madam Chair. Because one point I illustrate, even without quoting it, is the following, is that the institution of traditional leadership in South Africa sits in one department, that is COGTA. And the issue of land sits in another department, which is rural development and land reform. And then there is the cultural issues here and there. So the first thing is, if something is adequately catered for by a specific department with a mandate, we are not involved in that. Although the ITB's mandate, in terms of the Act, is wide as possible, because if you look, Section 2 says, a corporate body to be called the Ingonyama Trust is hereby established with perpetual succession and powers to sue and be sued, subject to the provisions of this Act to do all acts and things as bodies corporate may lawfully do. That's the mandate of this trust, in other words. But we restrict it on the basis of what we have been doing over the years. And therefore, if the king, as the king per se, wants a project, it will depend where it fits. Mainly the choppers have been hired by the province because he's the king in the province, not the ITB. We haven't done that, unless it specifically relates to the ITB mandate, which we have associated with managing the land, communal land in the province. Therefore, we don't foresee an instance where we will budget for a chopper because the king wants the chopper. The issue of the cultural activities are mainly within the confines of the Department of Arts and Culture, where we can contribute. For a number of reasons, we've done so in the years. We do not only because the king has said so, but in some areas, amakhosi, traditional leaders themselves, will say, with the money available for our allocation, we're asking for X amount of money to contribute in a cultural activity. That is how that is gone about. As far as the questions from the chair are concerned, because you wanted an unpacking, I'm not sure whether the chair wants the answers in respect of all the items she highlighted now, or she wants the unpacking at a later stage. I know it's your concern. You want it today, chair?
At a later stage, because you can't do it now. I don't know whether the CFO is ready for that. But that is what we need as a committee, so that we know. For instance, when looking at the same page, agricultural project expenses.
Yes.
According to this document, it's 1.7.
Yes.
But when looking at when looking at this document, it's 1 million. So that is why I'm requesting that. On the issues that I've highlighted, can there be a breakdown?
Yes.
You can't report only 3 months while we're talking of the annual. I've seen the date that from January to March,
yes.
But here we're considering the annual report, which is from April up to March. So you can't report only 3 months expenses.
We
because this is not a quarterly report.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think this report that you are referring to is the request that was made by the very same committee when we presented the fourth quarterly report, and that's why we've got the 3 months on this report. We note the request then for the year, that's what the new request is about, which is now going to start from April 2015 to March 2016. In the last report, the committee had requested for the breakdown of the quarterly
expenses. So basically that's what we provided. But we note the request and we're going to comply accordingly. Thank you, Chair.
It means that, you know, as a committee, the spending from January to March, which was 1 million, then it means that the spending from April to December, it was 700 something. Then we regard that as fiscal dumping, because it was towards the end of the financial year, so we have to just spend the money. There was no planning. Because if this is a report for a 3 months where you are saying from March to June, so you have spent million, while the total overall expenditure for the whole year is 1.7 million, then there's a question, CAO. But, yeah, there's a question mark. I think you have just to know that because you've got the quarterly spending, which leads to the annual spending. So you can't spend 75% of the budget towards the end of the financial year unless, but you'll explain it when you start the year. Honorable members, any other follow-up question? But also on the issue of the issue that has been asked by Honorable Member Chabile, Judge. We have got the Department of Sports Arts and Culture. It's Arts and Culture. Yes, sports is separate. I'm thinking it's the one for the province. Which are the ones that are responsible to promote, you know, the cultural activities. But with this one, I think one day we have to just go deeper and find out really how to the ITV find these cultural activities. But not today. We'll get a day where we'll have to go deeper on this one.
No, we understand.
Okay. Thank you very much, CEO and the judge and the team. I think we appreciate the improvement on your performance and also on your report writing as said by Honorable Ngoni. That is simple for everyone to understand. I think also you have to improve on the financial performance where you have to make those charts and comparisons, because you can't just tell us about the budget for this financial, you must compare. In this financial year we have this budget, then in this financial year, so that we see whether it was down, there was any increase or decrease or whatever. And also the expenditure must reflect the same. Then the issue of the lack of compliance, you responded to it, CEO, but I'm still maintaining that the AG is current. Because while I was reading your report, somewhere there was an issue of the the supply chain management, you know. Don't know whether it's your report or I'm confusing things, but there was an issue where the bids were not invited while the project was of around about 500,000. But can you please check that, because there was a lack of compliance. If it's irregular, it's irregular. We must just correct it. Then the judge has indicated that the issue of the delays in the appointment, which affect service delivery and impact on your performance, I think it must also be rooted out. What I'm requesting is that if there's any change in the APP, because we have made some changes here, training for traditional counselors, then we've realized that we have to train AMACOS. You know, still have that APP that you are going to train traditional counselors. We don't know that you've changed to train AMACOS, because if there are any changes on the APP, those changes must be presented to us, so that when we consider your report, we must see whether your APP is aligned to your annual report. You don't present the this APP, then you report on something else. What is the use? Because there should be an alignment between the APP and your annual reporting or quarterly reporting. If there's any change, that change must be presented to the committee. Then the issue of the people with disabilities, I think it's a serious issue. We've been discussing this thing with the department, with the entities. I don't know what is it that we need to do now, because talking doesn't assist us. This is not a privilege, but it's a right of those people. And also, you have to comply with the Employment Equity Act. So this thing of noting, we've noted that we have to noting, we've noted that, can you please stop noting and act? We need an action. We have noted, I think, 10 times now.
Noting.
Then it's enough. Now we want an action. I think in the report that will be forthcoming, we'll see a difference, really. We're not joking when talking about these matters. We have to make sure that the acts are being implemented. We're the lawmakers, we have also to make sure that those laws are being adhered to. I've requested an additional information, as I've highlighted, especially on the goods and services and other projects on the pie chart. I'm still maintaining, Judge, what has been said by Honorable Mshong is correct. People are suffering outside. They don't have food, they don't have houses, they don't have water, they don't have electricity. There's no need for us to keep 555 million as a surplus. We're saying the money is for the people. They must die. If those people die, then the money must belong to who? Because if the money is for the people, it must be used for the benefit of the people. You must assist the municipalities. If that traditional council, that community doesn't have electricity, jump in. Use the money. Then if Labantuba Fabula Wailala, but 55, these people are rich, but they don't know that they are rich. They've got 55 million in the bank, but they are suffering. That is another matter.
Are they aware?
Maybe if we can visit those communities, maybe we will be shocked. Why the money has been used for this purpose? Because it doesn't mean that ITP must wait for. That is why we're talking of partnership. You see the need, you engage the department, the relevant department, then you develop a plan, you implement for the benefit. 55 million. And next year, this 55 million will be 80 million. Really, people are suffering. So I just, you know, you ask yourself, what 55 million? I think we need to get a detailed report. This disbursement. But in this community, if seeking some whether we have given those people cash, how much? Because in most of these communal rural areas, most of the people are unemployed. Some of them, they don't have food to eat. Some of them, they don't even qualify to be, you know, to get grants. But you are rich, you are 55 million. Okay, I think we need to do something here. A plan must be developed. CEO, judge, the board as a whole. I guess we are in a move from Chambers. We need to have another meeting, just discussing a little. Because I guess it's a government because it's a people's beneficiaries' money. But we don't use that money for the benefit of the people. If it's the money, surely, in the interest, in Anani, I think we need to discuss this matter. It's very serious. The issue of the communication strategy, I think it will be answered while you unpack the communication expenses, that other side. Then lastly, let me just congratulate, thank the department, DG, and the team. You were with us yesterday for the whole day from morning until sunset. And also today you're with us. and also thank the CEO, the judge, and the chief for being part of the meeting. We've realized the improvements that you are making, but we need also to tighten the screws where we're seeing that the screws need to be tightened for the benefit of those people who are living in the ITP land. If you are saying it's their land, they must benefit from it. And also to congratulate the new board for being reappointed. We hope that we'll work together. But let us not end by communicating, talking and talking, noting and noting. But we need to act. Let's act. It's getting late. This is all for CEO. She and ITP Abandula Babalambi. Write your history, the history of the ITP, so that when you are not there, Abantu for you must leave a legacy. Abantu basho kuthi there was Dr. Madlope there. Things were done differently. There was Judge Ngwenya there in the team. Things were done differently. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
And let's thank Pumla for being here, smiling. And giving us stress, traveling, making us travel long hours. Tell us.
Also, okay.
I'm going to Jordan. I'm going to the concrete jungle. Yeah. I'm going to be an animal in this world. Your toy.
Thank you very much.
Your toy. Don't leave your toys behind.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. No. I think we